Coming to you live from Southwest Louisiana, this is the Hospitality Room Podcast with your host, Mr. Chuck P.
Hospitality Room 2014. Damn. 2014, man. Yes, sir. I have Mr. J. Adam in here with me. What's going on, sir?
How goes it? How goes it out there?
Oh, man. It is awesome. Shout out to Grown Man Media. Holding it down in the capital city. And let's start off, because we haven't been here in a while. The hospitalityroom.com is still open and is still alive and kicking. I've recently updated the site in the past. I see it was about a week ago I updated the site. You can still get at us on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/hospitalityroom. We are also on Twitter at Hospitality Room. You can get directly at me at Chuck P. Well, at Mr. Chuck P. And also, you can get at me with the hashtag Two Shades.
Two Shades.
Two Shades. We've been running Two Shades since the debacle in Carolina a few weeks ago, sir.
I was wondering where the two shades was because, born from.
One shade wasn't enough for Roman Harper. One shade wasn't enough. And that was the end of our season right there. That game was crucial. And just to see, wasn't it like three passes?
I forgot. This past season never happened.
Oh. Well, sir,
I'm already ready for the drills.
I talked to QJ Pimpson about a week or two before the game, our last game, and I told him I didn't expect much. I really didn't expect us to beat Philadelphia, but I knew we could. That, like, on paper, we were better than them. On paper, we match up pretty evenly, except for the secondary with Seattle. But that's just how the ball fly sometimes.
Yeah, I thought after the way we got manhandled by Seattle the first time, I didn't think it was gonna be this close. Honestly, I didn't want no part of what the Seahawks had to offer. But after watching it, and I didn't trust that Cam Jordan and Paris Harrelson and Junior Gallette, I didn't honestly believe that they were for real. I kept thinking, oh, this is going to be the game where they don't shine. This is the game where they show who they really are. But them dudes played their ass off, and they made up for a lot of the back end. They definitely impressed me. But somewhere along the way, it was going to be a bad one. If we didn't lose to Seattle, I don't know if they didn't, how they'd have fared.
Well, you see, I had planned on like somehow beating Seattle by a field goal, about very last minute score. It wasn't going to be like, oh, we're going out there to Seattle and blowing them out by 20. I knew that wasn't going to happen. But I kind of expected Carolina to beat San Francisco. And what started out as a good game, just to me, I didn't like the second half at all. Cam was playing in the first half, but you can tell that he was actually giving his all at the beginning of the game, because he was getting beat down. Like every time they went for a read option, he got hit at least three times. And they didn't do it that much. And most of the times, it wasn't really him running. It was a combination of no one open at the time, except for that amazing pass he made to Steve Smith. I was on Twitter. People were talking about Warren Moon. That was a Warren Moon. Just no. To me, that was kind of like, I hate to say it, but it was that was kind of John Elway-ish. Just because he didn't even look at Steve Smith. He just threw the ball. Like, when he looked at Steve Smith, the ball was already, like, extended. He was just making sure he threw it ahead of him far enough. And Steve Smith just made an amazing catch. Just like, that's what I thought of. Because I didn't think of Warren Moon to, like, Haywood Jeffers or something like that. I thought of John Elway to Ed McCaffrey on the no-look bomb. That's what I thought about.
Carolina was another team that I kept waiting for them to fall off too. I didn't believe in them either. And I think when the 49ers got Crabtree back, that made a world of difference to them. And that's what they were kind of my pick after the playoffs started, that I didn't think the Saints could beat them again.
I just thought that our secondary matched up better against San Francisco. Like, well, their secondary matched up with our receivers. It was a better matchup for Mr. Breeze.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I hate to, like, restate what the big columnists say and all the sports anchors, how they talk about the way you go into the playoffs is really the way you go into the playoffs. This is no joke. The Saints were like back and forth. Okay, they made it to the playoffs. They won one game. The Chiefs, on the other hand, were getting beat down.
They back in the playoffs, crawling.
It's like Peyton Manning just took the old Big and Brave card from them. And after that, it was like six games in a row they lost. And it just happened to be in the AFC, and they had like, they went, what, 11-0 almost? And then they lost the last five games, and then that debacle against the Lucky Luck. He is the luckiest of the lucky.
I don't know if it was just me, but it seems like the league overall was mediocre this year.
Yes, it was. It really was too much parity. That leads to a weaker playoff. Because let's just say that they had, it wasn't, the parity wasn't as even, and we had like five teams. We could say three from the AFC, which is the weaker division, and two from the NFC with over 12 wins. Let's just put it like that. And the top four got their buys and stuff. The wild card would be two mediocre teams playing. Then the next round would be the top team taking them out and then having to play another potential top team the next round. But with all the parity, it's like, just imagine if Green Bay would have won. a few years ago, wasn't it Seattle that backed into the playoffs? Yes, it was Seattle, because that was the game nobody watched Beast on mode. TV but me. I'm the only one that watched that game. It was Seattle and the Rams for the NFC West Championship. And the winner was 7-9, and they still had the playoff spot. I don't believe in that. And I don't want it to be the top six from each. I don't want that either. Because I don't want to see, like, half of one division in the playoffs. I think the division winner is fair. But yeah, I don't get it. I mean, I do get it, but I don't see a reason to change it. I just think that the free agency and through free agency, the teams need to, like, give up a little more money to get the players that they really need on their teams. That's what I think about it.
I think the spread offense in the NFL is starting to – the same thing you see in college football. It was done to teams that didn't have the talent as the other team are now able to use the system to kind of level the playing field. And now you see even a team that has enough athletic ability but not necessarily a good enough overall team can still win a considerable amount of games just because, like, you'll be able to put up points running this offense. And that's kind of the Saints' downfall I see – coming to is them and the Patriots, their passing offense, everyone has seen the scheme long enough now that they know we just sit back and we got to force these dudes to do what they don't want to do. And you can tell sometimes, I don't know if it's Sean Payton or Drew Brees, but I'm assuming it's Drew Brees because he did a lot of this last year without Sean Payton, where you can tell he gets aggravated because he's not getting what he used to get and he wants to force it.
Yeah, let's take it back to the Saints for a second before we talk about these the playoff games that the Saints weren't in this weekend. But what do you think about Drew Brees for the future?
I think he definitely has to take a cut in his contract. He has to restructure that because we can't lose Jimmy Graham. Because right now, all we think we have in our playbook, we're basically a professional version of Les Miles. We run screen passes every other play. Well, everyone in the damn stadium knows what's coming.
We don't really have a legitimate deep threat.
Well, we have the deep threats. I don't think we have someone to throw the ball to make it a deep threat.
But
I've seen a lot of underthrown deep passes.
What I'm saying is, Colston is 6'5", okay? But he is not a deep threat.
Right, yeah. He ain't gonna moss nobody deep.
Kenny Stills has the wheels. But he's not a...
He don't have the body?
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend him going 30 yards down the field, especially, like, against somebody like Richard Sherman or, you know... who else?
And Meacham, they brought him back to be the deep threat, but you could tell he ain't got the speed acceleration no more.
I just think Meacham doesn't know the playbook. I think he forgot the playbook. He really didn't know it when he was there, and then he left and tried to learn somebody. Yeah, I think that's what happened. Meacham was like, fuck it, I'm just be here this year. Y'all brought me back. We can start fresh next year. Deep threat? That's about it. I mean, we do have Nick Toon, but Nick Toon is like a cartoon to me. He is really I don't really like him too much.
But I think what you see, like, you see some defenses now, they're basically forcing Drew Brees, or not forcing, they're allowing Drew Brees to do what they want to do, the underneath passes, and they're just stopping him short. Is essentially what I haven't seen Drew Brees able to muscle up and throw the ball over anyone's head yet.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Well,
it takes a misdirection play to get him able to throw it over anyone's head.
Well, I think that's mostly because we haven't really played like sorry teams this year. So, and like, your sorry teams will be the ones to play more zone defense. So we've played better defenses the past few weeks. Let's just say it like that. In this man coverage, and I guess he just wasn't sure. I'm not giving up on Drew Brees yet. Just yet. No.
Oh no. Yeah. Yeah. I'm definitely not saying it's time to go ahead and get rid of him, move to something different. I mean, we had left tackle problems from early in the season that made a big chunk of what our problem was on offense. I mean, you don't have the time to go deep. I understand that's one of the reasons you don't do it. You have to run a screen. But I think this little rookie that we had, Armstead, I think he's gonna be all right. They might move him somewhere else if they pick up another tackle. But he seems to be – he led the combines, but he had the fastest 40 time. He ran like a 4.5 or something.
Yeah.
And he had the highest vertical.
But let's be serious. We are never going to get rid of Drew Brees. Drew Brees will play for the Saints
he's going to be our Brett Favre.
He's earned the Brett Favre credit already. Like he can just pull the Brett Favre card out of his wallet. And it's
how many picks a year do you give him before you pull him?
Oh, how many picks? Me personally, I give him 23. He'll have to be worse than Eli Manning 3 years in a row.
Okay. We don't have to worry about it then. He can retire.
Yes. The Saints can come next year and go 4-12, and Drew Brees could throw for like 4,000 yards, have 21 touchdowns and 26 interceptions, and I'm gonna be like, it wasn't his fault. I can't do it. We see people supporting Andrew Luck right now. Andrew Luck at least throws 2 interceptions a game. It's like he plays a game within the game. It's like, oh, I'm gonna put us down by 14 and then I'm coming back.
You gotta test his own. That's let you know the other rest of the defenses in the league can't do their job. You gotta challenge yourself.
Man. No, but because Drew Brees actually is the reason why the Saints are known at this point. But people tend to forget that I actually sat down and watched the 10 plus years of mediocrity. I was there for the 8-0 and then lose 8 straight. I was there.
Got the T-shirt.
I was there for all the 9-7s. Oh no, my bad. Not 9-7, the 7-9s.
The 5-11s to Atlanta. Yes.
The last twice second, in season. The having the 21-point lead against Tampa Bay. And go in the half and come back. Tampa Bay just scores 28 unanswered points. I've seen this happen with the creamsicle jerseys, not the new Tampa, the old Tampa Bay with Eric Rett.
Yes. The Crescent City run and then the missed extra point.
Yes. We continue. Jeff Chandler, go fuck yourself. He wasn't even that good of a quarterback, but you were good against the Saints.
Jeff George.
Yeah, Jeff George. I'm sorry. It's Chris Chandler. I'm sorry.
Yes. He sucked too. Yes, Jerry Glanville. And I hate the Falcons. I hate Deion's old Jerry Curl he had when he was with the Falcons.
Look, side note, everybody. This is true. You can go on YouTube and look it up. The year Martin Anderson left the Saints, he went to play for the Falcons. Now, I had to be no more than what? I'm giving myself about 9. This is a long time ago. But the Saints were playing the Falcons. Martin Anderson came in to kick. And they ran a fake field goal. And who did they throw it to? Take a wild guess. I need to find this clip before I continue on. But I do remember this. They ran the fake field goal and they threw it to the kicker going around and the dude just ran in. Like what I'm trying to say is the Saints have never been good. So the people that talk shit about the Saints now. It's like, what? Why? What are you? There's no reason. You talking about a team that made the playoffs? Like, what? We've been making the playoffs what, 6-7 out of the last 10 years now? Let's just put it like this: we made the playoffs more than the Cowboys.
But, how about them Cowboys?
But what I'm saying is, Drew Brees brought he took us away from that mediocrity. I just wish that that Deuce McAllister could have just stayed a little while longer, like
a few more years.
Yeah, if his body wouldn't have broke down so quick. But he carried the Saints for like 5 years
on his back. On that dude back. Was a monster.
Yes, and that's what we're missing right now. We need a solid two to three down running back. That's what we need. That way we wouldn't have to rely on Drew Brees so much. And I said this a long time ago. It's going to come to the point where Drew Brees not going to be able to do it on his own.
We might be to that point already.
So, but we need something to complement him to where he doesn't have to throw. He could be like Russell Wilson and throw for 103 yards and still win a game. Running backs, man. We need some running backs. We need and blocks.
What are you talking about? We traded up for Mark Ingram.
Did you say something just now?
So you're saying we should go get the other running back coming out of Alabama now? We need to go ahead and start moving up with Alabama running backs?
No.
We can go get Trent Richardson?
No. Hell no.
I blame Alabama players for being the kiss of death in the NFL.
But okay, sir. anything else you have to say about the Saints? We'll talk about them again sometimes.
No, that's still in mourning. We can move on.
Okay. The Denver Broncos took care of business this weekend as they defeated the San Diego Chargers.
Phillip Rivers all bowled.
And Phillip Rivers came out with his little cowboy tie on. What is do you know the correct name for this, sir?
It's some kind of brooch. I can't think of it off the top of my head.
Phillip Rivers looks like
my grandfather used to wear one church.
Phillip Rivers looks like he's the type of person that'll walk up to you and just spit some Bible verse to you like it's a freestyle, just straight off the head. That's what he looks like to me. Like he'll come up to you and be like, "How you doing, brother?" And just throw holy water on you and start talking about Jesus.
Oh, it's a bolo. You talking about throwing? That's bolo. It's a bolo tie.
Oh, yeah.
You said throwing about throwing them bolos.
Mm-hmm. Throwing them bolos for Jesus.
His seven damn kids.
Oh yeah. Serious. Phillip Rivers just looked like he's so serious about Jesus. Like him and Tim Tebow need to get together and make a reality show.
Well, Phillip Rivers is like he's a cult leader. Or he could be part of a cult.
That's why I say he has to be down with Jesus.
Like he on a whole nother level, though. That's a whole nother level. I don't know how the hell San Diego even made it. They should have never been in there.
They made it because of Phillip Rivers. I know you hate to hear that. I know. I really do. I know you do. Like, I know it hurts your heart to hear that.
I almost root against his brother, Stevie, because they hate Phillip so much.
But seriously, this past season, he went for 4,400 yards, 32 touchdowns, 11 ints. That's... I kept up with him this year because he was on one of my fantasy teams, so I had to keep up with these stats. He carried them by himself because Ryan Matthews got hurt every other game again. And Phillip Rivers didn't have any receivers to throw to, but the final score for the game was, what, 24-17? Yes. Shout out to Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning is the current Brett Favre card holder. Philip Rivers. And Philip Rivers is coming out again with. I have to look at it again, so I'm sorry. I don't know if you can see it on your screen, but that's. Let me see if I could. I don't know if the screen share is still on, but yeah, that's the Bolo.
I don't know, but Peyton Manning better win it this year.
Oh man, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but well, I'll wait till we do the picks for. yeah, Peyton Manning was 25 for 36 with 2 touchdowns. Not bad. Kind of low stats for Peyton Manning this year, you know, since he's like RoboCop now. I guess warming up with all those pizza doughs with Big John that was helping him throw those spirals this year.
Hell yeah.
And, okay. You have anything to say about the game, sir? I thought you had some input about this. Well, I know you didn't care, but...
I wanted them both to lose.
Me too,
but... It was
tough
for me to watch. As an old Chiefs fan, it was really hard for me to stomach the fact that two bitches is playing against each other.
Okay, so since you admitted to being a Chiefs fan, how did you feel about Andy Reid, just in general?
I mean, he won with those scrubs they get, so he has to get some credit. I didn't get a chance to see too many Chiefs games since, you know, I can't get the NFL Direct TV package like that since I'm a cable subscriber. But, yeah, I didn't get to see too much. I just assumed automatically when they got on there, they'd be going 5 wide on the goal line. But, I mean, he had LeSean McCoy. So, I mean, you knew he was going to be able to use Jamal Charles to his full potential. And he revived Alex Smith. But I don't know. They won kind of despite, like, they reminded me of the old Ravens from the early 2000s before they won the Super Bowl. When Brian Billick was this offensive genius that his offense never could produce anything to amount to anything. He relied on his defense. And that's what I've seen a lot of the Chiefs. But they did surprise me when they put up, was it 48 points in the playoff game? I mean, I didn't expect that happening. But
well, Jamal Charles did put up 35 by himself. But I think the Chiefs this year were as good as Jamal Charles was. Every loss, since the starting with the Broncos game, and I'm not changing my stance on this. Every game that they lost, I blamed it solely on Alex Smith. I'm sorry. There is no excuse for him to even start after that performance against Denver the first time. The first time. That was terrible. They had dudes really running down the field open. Or at least they looked halfway open. Or they were somewhat open. They looked like if you would throw it over the shoulder, they might have a chance at getting the ball. If you just threw the ball, it looked like Dwayne Bolden at least jumped for it. But he didn't do it. Why didn't he do it? Because I'm not going to say that he was scared. He doesn't care about putting the game out of hand. Yes, exactly. And to me, that's an indictment on him. I can't watch that kind of football. And after that, I really didn't care if the Chiefs won or not, because that was pathetic. And I'm saying it like that because that was the same thing that happened in San Francisco. The dude is a terrible quarterback, because he's not. He just refuses. Like, if the game is close, he will play the game. He will play keep away.
He is a modern Trent Dilfer.
But okay. The other game, we're not even going to go over. Patriots beat the Colts. I don't even know how the Colts made it to the playoffs, first off. And I really don't know.
San Diego made it.
And I don't know how the Patriots lost 4 games this year. I don't care.
The Patriots are winning.
No, the Patriots had the softest schedule ever this year. Ever. Ever.
Go figure. Go figure.
Ever. Every year that they play is
cheated.
They're guaranteed. Like, you can almost book in 6 wins of the division every year for the past 10 years now. Since Vinny Testaverde was the quarterback for the Jets. That's how, like, it's been forever. What, the Dolphins? Poor Dolphins.
The Bills.
The Bills. Poor Bills. In the Jets. J-E-T-S.
Look, the Colts got to play the Jaguars and the Texans twice.
Man, exactly. That's why I'm saying I'm surprised the Colts even made it to the playoffs. It's like
and they had the Titans in the division. Man, that division was some garbage.
Basically, the Patriots said, "We have a better bunch of scrubs than you do in Indianapolis, and we're never going to let you see the lead." And Andrew Luck didn't help him out either. He just kept throwing. And we're not going over this. Saints lost 23-15. Nothing. We talked about that earlier. The Panthers didn't come back out in the second half against the 49ers, and they lost 23-10.
What was your take on Kaepernick ripping the shirt open and then kissing the bicep?
Well, I mean, that kind of is what happens.
I agree with you. There are plenty, I've been hearing a lot of salty people about it.
I mean, you're going to get his one day. That's how the NFL code goes. But there are many a player that did the dirty bird in Atlanta that did not play for Atlanta.
Joe Horn.
Yeah.
The dirty bird killer.
Cam didn't, he really didn't get a chance. Well, I was going to say, they didn't come out in the second half. I don't know.
Cam was just, he had Steve Smith and himself.
So, and also, like, we're going to bring it back, the same situation that we talked about. We can't really expect a lot now that we didn't win what we were supposed to, and we gave Cam Newton time to mature. I called this the day the Panthers drafted him. That day, I said, look, we got at least 5 years to win 2 more championships before this man becomes a man. Because he can have scrubs at receiver. He doesn't need them. He just needs them to get open every now and then. So all he needs is a good running back and somebody to make sure he doesn't get beat down from the blind side. I'm thinking that the coaching is holding him back at this point. But, next season, do expect the Panthers to be right back in it. Because the Falcons are going down. Tampa Bay is Tampa Bay. And we are who we are. We just got to play some better defense. So even though the defense is like they're making – you're making a big – Rob Ryan came in and we had the worst defense. Now they're the 4th-ranked defense. But – we still needed more, like, we needed, at the times we needed the defense, they didn't show up to me this year.
I see.
And I
understand. You say that. I understand now why Belichick started going for it on those 4th downs and everybody was criticizing him. I understand that now. There's quite a few times that we should have had a 4th down instead of relying. And that's why I didn't have as much confidence in the defense throughout the season, because I've seen that what you're talking about, them collapse at the end, typical Saints fashion.
Yes, it's like we were supposed to at least win 13 games this year. The second Panthers game, we were supposed to win that outright.
We should have won the other game and not even had to rely on that.
The Jets game, we were supposed to win that bullshit. And the Saints, not the Saints, and the Patriots. That was, I don't. That's what I'm saying. The defense folded like a fucking metal chair, like a WWF chair. As a, with what it was 35 seconds left.
Okay, that's another one I blocked out.
Yeah, okay, that's what I'm talking about. He made Rob Ryan made major improvements, but at the end of the day, it was still defense that was needed to win those games. I mean, what else you want Drew Brees to do with a pair of with three complimentary backs and one legit receiver in against the tight end? I mean, Drew Brees is only Drew Brees. He can only do so much. Even at the top of his prime, he would only do what was given to him. He wasn't going out there and just like, oh, I'm going straight over the top. Never at any point was Drew Brees the 07 Tom Brady where it was just, oh, I'm going 50 yards on you right now. Boom. He was always I'm going to pick you apart.
We've lost, what, three linemen in the last two or three years?
That hurt also.
I think that's where a lot of our run game went.
Okay. But, okay, let's do some pick 'em now, sir.
Oh, shit.
Pick them.
Let's go.
Patriots, Broncos, who you got?
Man, I want them both to lose. I'm going to say, man, Peyton finally gets him one against the Patriots.
Okay, you going with Peyton. I am going with Tom Brady. Just because he has less to work with, it just make the story even greater. I wish this game would be – I hope this is the Sunday night game on NBC. I want Chris Collinsworth to like just pull his wood out and just start rubbing it every time he talks about Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. He could talk about them at the same time.
Just throwing a little Brett Favre shots at Tebow, man.
Man, get your towels ready.
Your tissues out. They gonna be some tears out.
Okay, I'm only going against you in this one. I think we're going for the same team in the next one. Who you got? Seattle, 49ers.
I hope 49ers brings the woodshed. So I honestly believe the 49ers can beat them. I believe they're the best equipped team to beat them. I think Seattle's a tad overrated. And another thing I would like to say is if my predictions don't go correct and we do see the Patriots in Seattle, I think you might have a black hole form in New York and the world and universe implode on itself.
Man.
Because what I remember from when the Patriots were supposedly the best team in the league in the 2000s, the singles digits, I remember everyone used to always complain about how much the secondary would get away with how physical they were with receivers. And watching Seattle, I said from the very beginning that the first time I've ever watched Richard Sherman play, that if any defensive back on any team in the league could get away with what these dudes get away with, we would have a league of all-pro cornerbacks. But I've only seen it called against in certain situations at certain times. Some teams they allow to play and get more physical, and Seattle's one of those teams. So I don't know if it's the label that allows them to get away with it or that they were able to get away with it and allowed them to get that label. But either way, if you watch, there's usually more contact in their games than any other team playing except for the Patriots.
And I am also going with San Francisco. Hands down, I just want Seattle to lose. But if there is an alternate world, the alternate Peyton Manning is praying. It's praying that Seattle wins this game. Because what would Peyton Manning like more than to play against the best secondary in the world, Craig, in the world, for the Ice Super Bowl championship and weather that he is known for not playing good in? Oh, man. Peyton Manning, the alternate Peyton Manning, is wishing on a star for the Seattle Seahawks to win this game. Because there's no doubt in his mind that he's not going to just go out there and beat down the Patriots. But we all know what happens with the Patriots in playoff games and officiating. So yeah, there's a lot of a bunch of these, like three of the four teams are known for getting good calls. So we're gonna see what happens this weekend.
Something has to give.
Somebody has to give. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And also for whoever wins the AFC Championship, that the starting quarterback has a Brett Favre card also. Just letting you know that too.
I want to give a shout out to the person in the preseason that told me that Josh Freeman was a better quarterback than Drew Brees and that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers were going to win the division. I'd also like to give a shout out to him how in week four he was now rocking a Seahawks jersey and has been a lifelong Seahawks fan. So shout out to the bandwagon riders out there.
Exposure. We didn't. You know who you are. I didn't even know what a Seahawks jersey looked like since 2003, when people were rocking like the Sean Alexander jerseys, which I could understand because he was like leading the league. He was one of the best backs in the league at that time. But really, yeah. If you got if you're down here in Louisiana, yeah, I have to say Louisiana. If you're out here in the state of Louisiana with a Seahawks jersey, I'm really doubting your support of the Seattle Seahawks. Because, I mean, if you wanted to be a fan of a bird, you could just as easily become a Falcons bandwagoner. I'm just saying.
I remember when they used to be the doormat of the old AFC West. There was no other Seahawks fans around. Nobody had the Benny Blaze jersey on.
Preach. So I was talking about the other day, I seen somebody on my way to work, I seen somebody with the old starter outfit, the old starter jacket, and it was the Houston Oilers, and I was like, man, that's a throwback. Because that starter jacket was from about 1993, it had to be, and it was still in like good condition, unless you could still order those. I wish I could find out, because I would.
I used to have an old Chiefs one like that.
I had a Philadelphia
Eagles. You're the Saints.
Yeah,
you couldn't be able to get a Saints.
I had a Philadelphia Eagles. And that was back when Randall was playing with them. And that was the only other jacket I ever rocked from another team other than the Saints. Because I had no choice. Because you couldn't get a Saints starter jacket out here. I was like, crack! And that's when you used to get robbed for your starter jackets, too. Yeah. Oh, back in the days. Oh, we have some articles, sir. I know it's been a while since we actually did a full show. We were able to do a full show, but we have new equipment now. New year, new equipment. Quick article back to sports before we move on. The Seahawks fans caused an earthquake this weekend. I just wanted to rub it in just a little bit more.
I don't know what you're talking about. Did they get a basketball team or something?
No, they caused an earthquake. The fans in the stadium, they caused an earthquake.
They had a soccer game. The University of Washington was playing.
Oh. For the divisional round in the playoffs.
I might have heard something about that. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Any kind of gimmick.
Best team in the world, Craig.
Did they steal the 12th man from A&M, or did A&M steal it from them?
I don't know, but Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, no, we can.
I remember A&M's 12th man a long time before I ever heard Seattle.
All right. I'm gonna try to play this where you can hear it, but the second article I have is still on sports a little bit. It's about famous Jameis. Let's see if I can play this so you can hear it. I know the everybody that's listening is going to be able to hear it, but I'm still having technical difficulties hooking up everything. But
first of the new year, got to get it right. Yeah.
Jameis, his after game interview was scrutinized by the mother of A.J. McCarron. I don't know if you heard this or not, sir.
No, I didn't see this story.
She later apologized for the tweet that she typed. It's from DD at DD Bonner. It is, "Am I listening to English?" And that was in response to what James Winston said. Now, I know people that sound just like Jameis. I know people that the accent is a little thicker than Jameis. I know that is English, though. And here's what he said, and I'm going to play it for everybody after I read it. It says, he said, "We champions. We can share that. We are champions together. And through everything that we went through all the haters, through every single thing, we came out victorious. God did this. I'm so blessed. He's so blessed. All the stuff that he handled with Ethan." He's talking about the coach's son, Jimbo's son. And he come out here and coaches. That touched me. And it's nobody but God. Nobody. The apology tweet from DD Bonner, from at DD Bonner, said, "Anyone that knows our family knows we are far from racist. My tweet was not in any way meant in that way. I sincerely apologize if I offended anyone." And to that, I say, fuck you. You're from Alabama. Period. You know that, really? Alabama? Somebody in the state of Alabama has enough balls to ask if somebody's speaking English? Alabama? Not Georgia. Not Virginia. Alabama. Do they even have red lights out there? I'm just saying, it's just how the totem pole works in the South. Really, Alabama? I know we're not just too far away from you, but we all far away from you. You know what I'm saying?
This is kind of to do the same thing, but kind of off topic. We were having a conversation the other day with Winston, and we got to talking about the Blind Side movie and the Michael Orr situation. And whether the woman, the family that took him in, and the woman that's now doing a book tour going around, if she did it out of legitimate like feelings, or if there were ulterior motives, possibly. And it just kind of all fits in the same thing in the state of Alabama. They learn the masterful art of walking the fine line, and sometimes they slip up and they forget their paintbrush at home and just true colors come out.
I mean, it's Alabama, is all I'm saying.
Right, it's kind of like you shouldn't be surprised when you find out someone from the South is racist. It's like, it's... Oh. But it is strange that the guy that was accused of rape is thanking God for blessing him. So, bless them all. Bless yeah. his little heart.
How do we say, prayers to the family. Prayers to the family. But, I'm gonna play the Jameis, and hopefully you can hear it, because I felt what he was saying. I understood it, and like, do you have anything to say else to say about this? You might have after you hear the post game interview. But all I'm gonna say is that I really don't expect to hear the most intelligent speech from sports athletes. from people that get hit in their head for a living or just any type of physical contact. If you do that for a living, I don't expect you to be that intellectual. But okay, here's Jameis.
With 1:15 to go in this game, final drive, what did you tell your teammates around you?
I said, guys, we didn't come here for no reason. I said, guys, this is ours, man. This is all the adversity we went through the first few quarters, it was ours to take. And like I was just saying, we control our own destiny. And those men looked me in my eye and they said, we got this, Jameis. And I said, are you strong? They said, I'm strong if you strong. And I said, we strong, man.
After struggling through the first half, what was the biggest adjustment you guys made at halftime?
We had to go back to playing Florida State football. We came out here, we were letting us be bigger than the game. We were bigger than the game. Then we had to say, hey, let's play Florida State football because can't nobody be bigger than this game. And we did that, and we came out victorious.
You had an embrace with your head coach, Jimbo Fisher. You've been through a lot with him this season. What did you guys share in that moment, Jameis?
We champions. We can say that we are champions together. And through everything that we went through all the haters, through every single thing, we came out victorious. And God did this.
God!
He's so blessed. Like all the stuff that he had with Ethan, he come out here and coach us. That touched me. And it's nobody but God. It's nobody.
Ethan being the reference to Jimbo's son, you said it once, you said it 100 times this season. If we're going to do it big, we're going to do it big then. How big is this moment?
It's the biggest. Happy birthday. My cousin in Afghanistan watching this game, Teola Winston. We're doing it for everybody. We're doing it big all over the country, all over the world. And I'm proud. I'm proud to say I'm a Florida State Seminole.
Congratulations, Jake.
Thank you.
Brent?
All right. That was the Jameis, everybody.
And wait, what did this woman say again? Because honestly, I didn't hear anything at all. I mean, that sounded like a typical college student. He didn't say nothing.
Her tweet
besides
was,
the God thing,
am
the God
I listening there. To English?
Yeah, that's because she's an idiot. She was just upset at the time. She was just mad because her little boy got raped.
Oh, that was all that was man. About. Oh, and they fell apart. Man, they fell apart like cheap Play-Doh that you left the lid off of. Just, ha ha! All I have to say is ha ha! It feels so good. And you know I didn't want to see the SEC lose this one this year. You know that.
But I also didn't want to see Auburn win either. So
but it still felt so good. Yeah, exactly. Because where's Auburn?
Ala fucking Bama.
So, in hindsight, AJ McCarron's mom was actually rooting for the team that somebody from the University of Alabama is supposed to hate the most. But that ain't racism. Word. What else could it be? Don't worry, I'll wait. Yep, so I thought. I mean, come on. It was Auburn. I don't think anybody outside of Alabama likes Auburn. Other than Cam Newton, because I don't think he stays
Alabama
out there
like
anymore.
Auburn either.
Huh?
So I don't think there's many people in Alabama that likes Auburn either.
Ha ha ha. Also, there's not a lot of people in Alabama that like black people. But that's neither here or there, you know. That's just
no, that's everywhere.
That's why I said it feels so good. Go ahead, Jameis. Bring back the country accent. Because Lord knows we all have it.
I think the only thing that bothered me was the damn God part. And that's a whole other situation. I ain't got nothing to do with none of that.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah, me too. But at the same time,
that's what I'm saying. That's a young dude just won a national championship. Come talk to me after I win a national title and show my ass like that.
I'll probably 20, be banned from TV. That what? 21-3.
I might just have my pants off walking with my dick out. I don't even know.
Should have said you're lucky I ain't cursed doing all this bullshit. just won the fucking national championship off the last drive, right after the dude scored on us to put us away.
James Winston ain't gonna smash her son's old lady.
Oh man, oh, I don't think they can do that because what's his name be stalking her too much. Oh boy, on CBS.
Verby out there is looking.
Fuck both of them. Speaking of Jesus, Pastor tries to walk on water like Jesus, but he drowned in the front of his congregation. On January 2nd, a pastor tried to walk on water like Jesus. Pastor Frank Cabell on the west coast of Africa assured his congregation that he was capable of walking on water like Jesus did. He attempted to reenact what Jesus did as his congregation looked on. He set out to demonstrate that he too could walk on water on Gabbin's Beach in, Libreville. Unfortunately, it cost him his life. And if you would open your good books to Matthew 14:22 says Jesus walked on water. And when Peter, his disciple, tried to walk on water to go to Jesus, he began to drown and Jesus saved him. Oh, and yeah. Do you know this verse, sir?
Oh, I remember it. Not very familiar with it anymore, but I do remember it, yes, sir.
Okay. Cabell said that he received a revelation that told him with enough faith that he could do what Jesus was able to do. Here's way it gets funny, though. I think you're going to like this part. A report was given by an eyewitness that the pastor took his congregation out to the beach. He told them that he would cross the Kombo Estuary by foot, which is normally a 20-minute boat ride. Look, man, look, next weekend, I'm taking off of work. I just got this revelation from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. We're going to all meet up at Whiskey Bay, and I'm going to walk across that motherfucker. Right down I-10. We're going to meet down there. Jesus told me. He told me that I'll make it if I walk across Whiskey Bay. A 20-minute boat ride. Are you serious? This dude would have been walking for like 3 hours almost. Really? Really? You're not on this 20-minute boat ride? Really? Oh, man. Okay.
Now, see, if you was on drugs and you jumped out of a window because you was trying to fly and you died, they would be giving drug the bad name instead of saying the person was a dumbass for not trying to fly from the ground up. So why wouldn't this dude, like, he didn't have enough faith to practice this at home first to make sure? I mean, just in case to see, just.
My thing was, I think he just, like, fuck it. And he was, like, he kept making, like, steps like he was walking as he kept going down. And it was just, bubbles was coming out, like, wow, I'll float back up. Jesus got me. And that's how I went down. Oh, man. By the second step into the water, Cabell was completely submerged. Sadly, he drowned immediately and never came up.
He faked his death. The dude ain't dead. He stole all the church money and dude. Can't lie to me. I'm gonna lie to somebody else. That man, they ain't find a body or nothing, man. That motherfucker dude. Why he go that far out then? He knew what he was doing.
While this story is indeed sad, it is not the first incident of this nature in Africa.
Shit happens all the time.
Oh shit. At El Banzu in Southwest Nigeria, a self-proclaimed prophet claimed that he was able to do what Daniel did by walking into a den full of lions.
So you can't walk back out that den.
The zookeepers had warned the man numerous times, but he saw them as enemies of his progress. With a crowd watching, the man put on a red robe and attempted to enter the cage full of lions. Within seconds of opening the door, the lions ripped the man apart. Hopefully others will learn from these two incidents and not try to reenact dangerous feats. This is not dangerous feats. This is stuff that is read, that came out of the Truth Is As Print Bible. King James Version. Just saying. This comes out of the Bible. Man, I can just see this dude. I wonder if he did like the Bible said. And, did they go in the boat like right to the middle of the water? I don't think he took a step. There's no way that you're taking a step on water. Why did the oracle say the second step?
That's what had me confused. I'm like, it seemed like the first one, he motherfucking ass was underwater.
Oh, I guess the second step was like his first foot off the boat, period. Like, you know, he put one foot in and then he thought he was going to pick himself up with the second one, but he just went straight down. At what point did the crowd just turn around and say, fuck it? Like, how many seconds did
I don't think he's coming back up.
At 35 seconds, I would have been like, fuck it, I'm done. I ain't watching this no more, man. This dude killed himself in the front of everybody. What Jesus said, man, this is fucked up.
Oh. Jesus is laughing. Laughing at him.
All right. Whew. Whew, man. Next up, this is out of Oklahoma. Man dies after being given atomic wedgie. A completely nuts crime report out of Oklahoma. People say man died after being given an atomic wedgie by his stepson. I'd never seen this before, but when we looked at our victim, the waistband of his underwear was around his neck, said Sheriff Mike Booth. The victim, Denver Lee St. Clair, was already dead when the police found him at his home on December 21st. His stepson, Brad Davis, told investigators an altercation occurred after he went into the house. Davis says that St. Clair jumped him when he arrived. It appears that there was a fight, and at that point, St. Clair had a head wound and his underwear had been pulled up his back, over his head, and around his neck. Damn. And you just hit somebody in the head and then you just pull them by the drawers and then throw it over their face. Fuck you. And hit them again. Oh, man. Oh, his cause of death was found to be blunt force trauma to the head and asphyxiation. As the Oklahoman puts it, he was suffocated with his own underwear. Damn. The police are not clear what started the argument, but WOWK said that the men had been drinking and St. Clair may have insulted his estranged wife, Davis's mother. Oh. Okay. Oh, man, I didn't know you could die from a wedgie, man. That's fucked up. At what point, what kind of underwear did he have on?
It definitely wasn't the little cheap dollar store brand.
Oh, man. Because it didn't bend.
That was some tearaways. It'll be the Michael Jordan Haynes edition. Ahmad Rashad proof.
Okay. Let's see. Next up, last one. Indiana guardsman stopped for speeding in Madison County. Had 48 bombs, prosecutor said. An Indiana National Guardsman was arrested outside of Columbus New Year's Day after a state trooper found nearly 50 bombs and blueprints for a Navy SEAL training facility inside of his car. Whew. Andrew Scott Bogleswaski also had a remote control device to detonate the bombs. Boglowski's civilian job as a groundskeeper at the Muscatet Urban Training Center in South Central Indiana. Oh, okay. So 50 bombs, sir. 50. At no point will I ride with two bombs in the car. That's not my idea. And if you see this dude, if you can see him on the screen, he looks kind of sketchy. Yeah. If you can see that on the screen share, then he looks real suspect. He had 50 bombs in his car. Why would... I don't understand this. was it Fox News? What was it? What caused you to get this angry? Or were you not angry? Were you like Unabomber angry?
Because he wants his country back. Because
he looks kind of Unabomber-ish. He kind of looks a little Kaczynski-ish, is what I'm saying. He got the spaced out look. With the rough face. Just, 50 bombs, though, everybody. 50 bombs. Not the 50 bombs that Miami dropped on the Spurs in the championships, but 50 blow up bombs. not the 40 first downs that the Saints got on Dallas a few months ago, but 50 bombs, blow up bombs. He also had a bulletproof vest in the car. He is held in jail on $1 million bond. Thank you. I didn't want to. We don't need this to be in the news cycle for the next 3 days. Cause some kind of way it was gonna link back to either the liberals or some right wing conspiracy nut. As the real government issues continue to get pushed under the rug. Yep. It's 2014, sir, and that's how it's still going down. Just want to let everybody know that. So it's still going down. Well, sir, it feels good to be back on. I think we're going to end it right here. We might do another one if we can pick up QJ Pimpson. But if not, everybody, like I said earlier in the intro, please go to thehospitalityroom.com and facebook.com/thehospitalityroom. Or hit us up on Twitter @hospitalityroom. And you can hit me up directly @MrChuckP, or you can use the hashtag #2Shades.
#2Shades.
Yes, and #2Shades will also given out to who was it? Andrew Luck. Yeah. Just type in #2Shades or type in #2Shades, #THR. That's the main hashtag for the website and everything. #THR. That is the acronyms for the hospitality room. Everybody. info@thehospitalityroom.com in the emails. We are on iTunes. We should be on Stitcher real soon. Podomatic. Sir, do you have anything to add on?
Oh, no, not this time. On the next episode.
All righty then. Until next time, everybody.
Have a good evening. Good evening.